All right. Well, g'day. Some of you are catching on. Let's try that again. G'day. All right. Now, if you want to sound like a genuine Aussie, you've got to say it like a pirate. Okay? G'day. All right. So that's how the rednecks of Australia pronounce it. But I want to thank you again for everything, for allowing us to be here. I'm so glad that we were able to make it. And thank you also for the love gift that you sent us when the conference was canceled in April, and that was a great blessing to us. We had all our meetings canceled. We had a meeting in Wisconsin in March, and that was a great help for us. And so thank you again. And man, I had three messages prepared just in case the other two preached my message. Brother Stalcup came up, and we're doing good. And Brother Deku came up and preached all three of my messages. And so so I'm going to preach one of them right now. So would you get your King James Bible? Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. And we're going to look at a couple of verses, looking at verse 13 first. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says here, by the inspiration of God, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." These are the very words from a man who did not have a very pleasant past. Of course, these were words that were penned by the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul was no doubt probably the greatest missionary that have ever lived. And the works that he was able to do through with God's help still resonates in our day to day. And we look at the model of missions, and we take the model that Paul used when he was out there doing his mission work. But you know what? Apostle Paul wasn't always the greatest of men. He wasn't always for the cause of Christ. As you know, Paul got saved out of a life of persecuting Christians. Now, Paul, of course, what was his name before? Saul. And that Saul, that Pharisee, went about going around arresting people who believed in the very Christ that we believe in, who came to this world to save our souls and to take us to heaven. And he was in that business of persecuting Christ until Saul met Jesus Christ himself on that road to Damascus. You know the story. He was on his way to Damascus. He was ready to go and arrest more people for believing in what he thought was a new cult. And he was ready to go and persecute Christ even more. But then Christ came in the bright light, and Paul was blinded by Christ's glory, and he was saved on that road to Damascus. Praise the Lord that Saul, even though the background that he had, the past that he had, God was still able to use a man who had a past like Paul. You know, many of us could probably relate to the story of Paul. Not everyone here is perfect, as we all know, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. I remember before I got saved, I told a little bit about my testimony this morning, and I was saved out of a life of a surfy. That was one of those those cool crowds in Australia. I had my hair down to my knees pretty much. I was listening to heavy metal. I was going to the beach very often. I did things that I could never imagine myself. But praise the Lord that an independent fundamental Baptist preacher missionary from the Philippines came and met me and invited me to a youth camp. And at that youth camp, I heard a simple song. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. And because of that song, I was saved. God touched my heart and questioned. And I questioned my eternal destiny, not knowing where I was going to go. And October 2nd, 1997, I trusted Christ, my Savior. And it has not been the same since. And Apostle Paul, you know what? He had a rough start. He had a rough past. But and many of us could probably relate, and we probably have a rough start. But thank the Lord, we praise the Lord that God saves sinners, and God can use anybody who is willing to do what God wants them to do. I'm so glad for Apostle Paul, and he was a man's man. Now, don't get me wrong; he wasn't somebody who wasn't a lazy man. You know, it took a lot of work to go out and arrest people. You know, earlier in the chapter, he talked about, hey, you want to talk about zeal? I went around and persecuted the Christians. I mean, that takes a lot of zeal. I mean, we're very hard to catch, amen? We have a lot of zeal as Christians, amen? And as Christians back in those days who were persecuted, they had a lot of energy. As much energy as my children, amen? And but you know what? Apostle Paul, even though he had a rough start, you know, he had a secret to what I would call his success. I believe he was successful in his Christian life. He said that he was ready to be brought up to Christ, and he was ready to be delivered unto Christ, and to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But you know, this successful missionary, he had a secret. In verse 13, he says, "But this one thing I do." Well, at first he says, you know what, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived. I've not grasped everything. I'm not perfect. But you know what, this is what I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Apostle Paul, he used the illustration of the Olympic Games a lot, and you know, as you know, the Olympics started in Athens, and in this verse, I believe he's using the illustration of a race. They would have a foot race there in the Isthmus of Corinth, and in this race there would be phases in this race. Who's ever seen like those Ironman races where they would go on a triathlon, they would ride their bikes, and then they would swim, and then they would run, and then they would, I don't know, climb a mountain. Anybody ever seen those? Those are intense. Anybody ever done those? Nope, I don't think so. I would pass out like the first 10 meters or so, but you know what? Those are intense. But there are phases. And I believe here Paul is talking about, you know, as you're running your race of life, you're going to go through some phases. You're going to go through some times in your life. And you know what? When you get past those phases, you know what you do next? You forget about that. And then you just keep moving forward. You just keep moving. You just keep going. And Apostle Paul, he had a rough phase as a Pharisee persecuting Christians. But you know what? He didn't stop there. He didn't say, you know what? Well, I guess my life's done. I guess I can't do anything for Christ anymore because of my past. No, he looked back. He saw that what he had done, and he just looked at Christ and said, you know what? I'm just going to forget those things. And I'm just going to keep moving forward for the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes we get bogged down with some of the things that we do in our lives that we're not proud of. There are some things that we feel guilty about and we have a heavy heart about. And we say, God, I can never serve you anymore because I've done the things that I've done in the past. Apostle Paul says, you know, forget those things. Forget those things. You know, again, Apostle Paul, he wasn't a lazy dead man. He had accomplished a lot as a human, as a Pharisee. And I know perhaps I'm talking to some people who have accomplished a lot. You'd probably say, well, preacher, you know, I was valedictorian in my college, I would have you know. At college, I was in the who's who list, amen. I went to college with Christina, she knows what I'm talking about. I was in that list of who's that, right? Who in the world is that little short Filipino guy with that weird accent, right? Who is that guy? And that's the list that I made. And perhaps you have some accolades and awards and things that perhaps you could be proud of. You know what Apostle Paul says? You know what? Don't dwell on those things either. Forget those things and just keep moving forward for Christ. I remember in high school we used to have a marathon, you know, and I hated those, preacher, because it took two steps of mine to catch up with the taller guys, and it was terrible. And I remember going into those races, and man, I was like, man, I'm gonna win this 5K run. Let's do it. Let's go. And we would line up in the line, and when they would shoot that wasn't a real gun, a little cap gun, and they would shoot it. Man, I would sprint, and I would be first. I would be like, whoa, look at you! What are you guys doing? I'm beating you guys, and I got shorter legs. What are you guys doing? And I would run. But you know what? As I got past about the 200, the 300 meter, guess what happened? I started to slow down. I said, man, I got another 4 kilometers and whatever meters left, and I would slow down. And then I would look back and thought, man, what happened? And then people would stop passing me by. You know, the trick was those who ran these races, they took it easy. The first few thousand meters, they coasted. But then when they got to the end, that's when they sprinted. That's when they went all out and said, you know what? We don't have much time to go. I got some people who are competing with me. I got to go as fast as I can. I got to go all out right now or I'm not going to win this race. Let me tell you, brethren, we are on that last leg of the race, I believe. As Brother Deku said, you know what? I think the Lord is coming soon. And I'm not a doomsday preacher. I don't know what year. I do have a date. No, I'm kidding. I don't know when the Lord's going to come. No man knoweth the hour that the Lord will come. But I believe in the signs of the things that are happening right now that we're on that last leg of a race. And we've got to sprint. We've got to do as much as we can to win souls and to send as many people as we can out in the mission field and do as we can. And I know we're limited to some things, but man, we've got to get creative, amen. We've got to do all that we can, all the energy that we have. We just got to let it out because you know what? We're going to see, I see that finish line coming up. I see the Lord and as he says here in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Aren't you excited to see Christ? Aren't you excited? It's almost like Christ is right there on the finish line. He says, man, you're almost here. Just give it all you've got. And God wants us to give it all we've got and keep moving forward for Christ. You know what? 2019's gone, amen. 2020, unfortunately, is still here. I don't know why it's still lingering. We got murder hornets, we got murder, what's the new one? I don't know what it is, murder termites, or I don't know what it is. I don't know what the new thing's going to come up. But man, we're close to the end, and we've got to press. You know, in this work of the Lord, it's hard work, and it takes a lot of work. That's why he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says here in verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run the race in a race run well, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Have you ever seen the crowns that they win back in the Olympics? So to have like a little wreath kind of a deal. They train and they train and they practice and they condition their bodies for a little wreath. I could have given them that. It's like, here's your wreath, man. And they do it for this corruptible crown. But guess what, brethren? Look at this. But we... an incorruptible crown. A crown that will never go away. It'll be an eternal crown as we win souls. These are souls that will never die, that will always be in heaven. They're incorruptible. And then verse 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, it says I keep my body under subjection. I train my body. You see, these athletes that train all the time and all the things that they do just to earn a corruptible crown. What do we do as Christians to train, to win souls for Christ, to train to learn more about the Bible, to train to pray, to train to do all these things? What do? For the cause of Christ, do we put this body into subjection? I want to admonish you tonight, keep moving forward for Christ. You know what? We take our Christian life one day at a time, and we have bad days and we got good days. But man, when you see there's a bad day, hey, take the next day as an opportunity to do something great for God and just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward for Christ. We live in a world that is moving backwards. We're moving backwards in our stand. We're moving backwards on our Bible and going to other versions. We're moving backwards in the standards that God has placed in our lives. We're moving backwards in our prayer. We're moving backwards to some things. And would to God that God had Christians that would move forward for the cause of Christ. Let's move forward. This is it. This is the last leg of the race. This is like, I'm from, you know, Michigan, and we got the Detroit Lions. We know if they're winning at first, we know they're going to lose. In the first half, if they're winning, they're going to lose. But man, they're losing the first half. There might be a chance because they get in that third quarter, and they're like, all right, guys, we got nothing to lose. We're losing already. Let's just give it all we got. Let's just try to win, right? Well, guess what? I don't know what our situation has been, whether we've been losing this battle, but man, this is it. Let's give it all we can. Let's give it all we can. I'm going to the country of Australia, and Australia is a very unique country, and it has unique animals. And the two unique animals that we have on what we call our coat of arms, it's like our emblem. You all have the majestic bald eagle, amen, you know, protected, you know, majestically flying. We got first of all, the emu, okay? He does commercials for insurance companies and make good scrambled eggs, amen. Not protected, okay? And then secondly, we have, when you think of Australia, what animal do you think of? The kangaroo. We got the emu and the kangaroo. Kangaroo's not protected. In fact, they're pests, okay? But we got these two animals. Very weird animals. But we look to these two animals as a country in Australia. And I believe it is just for this very reason. These are the only two animals in the world that cannot walk backwards. They cannot, the only two that cannot walk backwards, okay? It was on the internet, so it's true, okay? They cannot walk backwards. It's very interesting that God made these animals that cannot walk backwards. And I'd like to use these two animals as an illustration, as a reminder to us to be thinking of this truth here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, to forget about the past, forget about those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let's move forward, guys. Let's move forward, brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have much time. Let's do as much as we can for the cause of Christ. Thank you.